You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
7 minutes after 9, South African time. You are tuning in, listening to the Q&A with myself, Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia, and our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. Let's welcome all our beloved listeners, local, national, and international, 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2784-786-3132. Somebody says, yeah, Mufti Saab, I follow Hanafi Madhab. Till what time can I read Zohar Salah if Shafi Asr sets in 3:30? Can I still be reading Zohar Salah at 3:30, Ustad?
You must remember by 3:30 you should be finished with your Zohar Salah. That is the verdict of the Malikis, the Shafi'is, the Hanbalis, and Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah's two greatest students, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad. For you to delay and read Zohar Salah at 4:15 is not... it's not advisable at all. Remember that you are going right into another time, according to majority scholars. So therefore, before 3:30, you should be finished with your Zohar Salat.
This one says, Ustad, 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. It says here that Mufti Saab, can I kill a spider or a cockroach while in the toilet, Ustad?
Yes, remember, they might bite you somewhere else, then a lot of other things will come out. You must remember that. So anything that is harmful, whether it is a spider, cockroach, or whatever else, and remember, you know it's going to harm you, so you kill it, but make sure you don't let the hose pipe go here and there, and you mess everywhere else. So in that way, it's fine. You kill it, totally permissible Islamically.
Ustad, can I mix lila and zakat money together and give it to the zakatable person, Ustad?
Remember that it's all to do with your intention. You know this person here, ABC, XYZ, is a Muslim. You are sure about it. He belongs to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Second one, definitely you are sure he is poor and destitute. Then you give him zakat. In your mind, you say 1,000 and zakat. And you say 100 and lillah. So that's fine, no problem. However, you must know that today, half the people, quarter to the people, collecting zakat, use it for enrichment of themselves. Either they use for administration, either they will use for their families. But if you go to their house, they got 3-4 cell phones, they got 2-3 big TVs there, and they got 2-3 cars there. People like that, you can't be giving them zakat. They want to lead a life of luxury, and yet they want zakat? No. Similarly, you find people today doing unda danda, upside down business. Then they get involved in haram debts and what have you. They owing the escort agency, they owing the casino, they owing the drug merchant, and now they want zakat. No, you can't give them zakat. Let them get a good hiding or go to prison. They deserve that, you must remember. So we need to be circumspect when it comes to our zakat especially.
Listener says, Ustad, I understand that there are many hoax amils that they take money, etc., and hoodwink the ummah. But it's a reality that many like myself do have a genuine problem, Mufti Saab. Does Mufti Saab know of any amils? We do read a lot, Quran, etc., but please help, Ustad.
Remember that my advice to you, leave all the amils, increase your iman and your nur of iman, read more and more Quran Sharif, stay in hudu, read Durud Sharif and salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and give out charity daily. You know the kitab Manzil by Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya Nawar al-Amr Qadawu. Read it every morning, every evening, every day, every second day, third day. Try and complete the entire Surah Baqarah. And inshallah, you will see that Almighty Allah will give you complete shifa. These amils and them, 90% of them are a bunch of crooks. Let us be honest about these things here. So just stay away from them.
Ustad, the next listener says, Assalamu alaikum, respected Mufti Saab. Is it compulsory to make a ghusl after shaving or waxing the pubes, Ustad, anonymous.
So you must remember that when you remove your unwanted hair or the pubic hair and all that, so your underarm is not compulsory you must take a bath and a ghusl, but it's better you take a bath for hygiene reasons. And you ladies should know that for you to go to another lady who does bikini waxing and all that, absolutely, totally haram, and you have become bare haya and bare sharam. You have lost your bonkers, actually, that you go and get waxed by another lady. You can't do it yourself, so you must remember that absolutely haram, and that lady who's doing it, your income also is totally haram.
Somebody says, Ustad, Mufti Saab, my name is Muhammad Duma. I would like, Mufti Saab, to be kept up to date on what content you'll post on WhatsApp, Ustad.
Says, yes, you must remember that you contact me, 071-000, just send me your name, and you say Muhammad Duma, but send us your cell phone number with your name, and then we will put you onto our groups, and whatever I post out, you will receive it on a daily basis. Every day I see people, South Africa and other countries, are sending me their names, and they say, please include us in your list, and so forth. So 071-888-1184. So you just send your name and your number, and mashallah, we will do that for you gladly, no problem. Otherwise, go to our website www. And that is Mufti, Mufti AK Hussein, Hossen, .net, and you will find everything there as well.
Ustad, could you please give us the correct way of spelling Muhammad in English? And is it advisable to keep a double name, for example, Muhammad Yusuf, Ustad?
The hadith is mentioned in Abu Dawood. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyamah bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum. Hence you choose good names. So Muhammad, Muhammad. So Muhammad, that is how you spell it. Some people spell it Med, so that also is fine in the ending. If you want to keep one name, it's fine. You keep two names, but then it's better you keep both names, then you call them by both names. We see 90% of the time people call the person with one name. So that is not good. It's not sin, but it's not good. Remember, not advisable. And remember, the name must have a good meaning. I give you one incident mentioned in Mishkat Sharif. If you go to Medina Munawwara and you ask the ulama there, tell us of Sa'id bin Musayyab. They will tell you Sa'id bin Musayyab, Sayyidu Tabi'in, one of the greatest Tabi'in, the successors who met the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Imam Malik rahimullah considered him min fuqaha is sab'a, the seven greatest jurors during his time. So such a great person, he says, his name is Sa'id and his father's name Musayyab. So he says that his grandfather, that his name was Hazan, you know. So it's Sa'id, one generation, Musayyab, and then Hazan. So this Hazan here was a Sahabi. So you must remember that. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that change your name to Sahal. So Hazan means sadness, grief. So he said, no, my father kept this name, so I'll keep it like this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam suggested to him, keep Sahal. So he said, no, I won't change it really, my father, you know, sentimental reason. He says, forever there was sadness in that time, because Hazan means sadness. So therefore we say that choose good names. It has a definite impact on your personality, on your character, on your attitude, and so many aspects of life. And in Jannah and Paradise, remember, the only thing you will take of this world is your name. Arafat bin Ibrahim, Abdul Qadir bin Ismail. So that's the only thing we take from this world into Jannatil Firdausil A'la, bi fadlihi wa rahmatihi wa judihi wa karami, with the mercy and grace and benevolence of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala.
Somebody says, Ustad, what is the number that we need to WhatsApp to obtain the podcast of the Q&A, Ustad?
071-888-1184. And then just send it to me. Inshallah, my brother Lukolo is here, and he will have it ready at around 10:30, 10:40, and then before I sleep, I send it out before 10:45, because then I must go and sleep. So in that way, mashallah, thousands of people get benefit. You listen to the podcast in your leisure time for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. 071-888-1184.
So let us go to Belito. He says here, I'm going to say that they call my name Mr. Z. And he says that my work colleague just died. He is a non-Muslim. They want me to speak at his funeral. What do I do? Is it permissible for me to go, Ustad?
It's haram for you to go, Mr. Z, Mr. B, Mr. A, whatever your name is, Mr. Zigzag, you understood? So whatever it is, we don't know. So it's haram for you to go. Why is haram? Because you're Muslim. Muslim believes in the Quran Sharif, in the Sunnah Mubarakah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah 9, chapter 9, verse 84. وَلَا تُسْوَلِّ عَلَىٰ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. You cannot pray for any one of them. You cannot stand by the grave. You cannot go for the memorial service. You cannot go to the cemetery. Nothing of that sort. You go to the family after everything is done. You offer your condolences, or you send them an email, or you send them a WhatsApp and so forth. That much you do, but to go there, all that absolutely haram.
Somebody says, yo, Ustad, if you have two daughters, is it permissible to give one daughter more money and anything extra compared to the other daughter, Ustad?
Normally, it should not be like that. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the hadith in Sahih Muslim, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَعَدِلُوا بَيْنَ أَوْلَادِكُمْ, that you must exercise justice between your children, sons and daughters as well. Double single ratio comes into operation, effective after death. Yes, now one daughter is married to a maulana, other one is married to a big shot doctor, professor, and so forth. So now the maulana, you know, bichara, that he won't earn so much, and then the doctor is earning hundreds of thousands. So the father gives that daughter more, not based on favoritism, but based on circumstances, so that's totally permissible.
Ustad, my daughter is 8 years old. When I encourage her to wear a scarf, some people put her down and say I am very, very too strict. What should I do, Ustad?
We are Muslims. We must not worry about people. The day we start worrying about people, Allah will disgrace us in front of those people. We must please Allah. Wallahu wa rasuluhu ahaqqu an yurdu in kanu mu'min. Allah says that you must please Allah Jalla Wala. You must please Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam if you have true iman. So what we worry about people? People are upside down themselves. One day they will say this, one day they will say that. We will be questioned by Almighty Allah. So Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allimuhum inda sab'in. Teach them about salat and prayer from the age of 7. So obviously if they're going to read salat, they have to wear scarf and all these type of things. Yeah. So remember, don't worry about people. People just make panchat, you understand? So they got all their stories. We're not interested in that. It's a test of our sincerity. If we are sincere, we continue. If we worry about people, we will give it up.
Let's go overseas, Ustad. There are people who are into fishing. Most people are fishing for sports. Some catch the fish and throw it back. Is this kind of fishing allowed, Ustad?
Not permissible at all. That is ta'adhib. That is torture, punishment. You are doing it for fun and games and your personal entertainment, whims and fancies. So in Islam, if you do fishing because you have to eat and so forth, like in Bangladesh and all these places, you're living there, ala sahil al-bahar, by the banks of the ocean and so forth. So that's fine. It is your livelihood. Or you are selling it and so forth. That's fine. But there's to catch one, throw it back, catch one, throw back, all that, remember that is not permissible. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Islam, Allah has ordained and prescribed, we do good to every creation of Allah. So we fulfill our duty with beauty. In Islam, to use live bait also is not permissible. So that also Islam is teaching us.
Somebody says, Ya Ustada, that I have made intention for Hajj. What dua should I read to be accepted? I see Mufti Sahab goes every year. Allah loves you, Ustad.
Don't say I go every year. Say Allah takes us every year. Always attribute it to Almighty Allah. Read 2 rakat salah daily. Start tonight after the Q&A. Go make wudu. Read 2 rakat salah. I hope you read your Isha salah. If you didn't read your Isha first, and then you read 2 rakat salah. And thereafter you read Surah 2. Surah Baqarah chapter 2, verse 128. Verse 128. Manasikana wa tub alayna. O Almighty Allah, you show us the places of Umrah and Hajj and forgive us, O Allah. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Verily, Almighty Allah is of forgiving. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu performed 60 Hajj and 1,000 Umrah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah 55 Hajj. Pirani Pir Hazrat Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah 50 Hajj. So, my brother, if you Allah invites, you go. Remember that. Don't look at your pocket. Look at the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Ustad, how do I gain concentration in my namaz? And how do I bring deen in my home, Ustad?
Remember to concentrate in salat. You must make this dua. Ya Allah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khinzab. People perform salat, they confuse, their fuses get blown, they don't know which surah, which rakat they are reading. So the hadith is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. There's a shaitan and his name is Khinzab. He wants to confuse us. So before we start the salat, say, Ya Allah, protect me from Walahan. Walahan is the one who brings doubt regarding our wudu. Khinzab, the one who confuses us in salat. How you bring deen in your house? First thing, read 5 times daily salat on time. Second thing is, contact the ulama-i haq, the ulama-i rabbani of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And third one, remember, start ta'aleem in your house. Take Riyadu Salihin, Allama Nawawi's masterpiece. Take Fazail works of Hazrat Shaykh Nawwar Allah Marqadahu Mawa Zakariya Rahimahullah. And in your house must become a madrasa. Then the noor of Almighty Allah will descend. Day and night the TV is on. Day and night the internet is busy. Day and night somebody is watching porn. So the adab of Allah comes down there. Every day you'll be fighting. Husband swearing, wife telling him, you go to hell. And all this will go on. Input, output, brother.
Somebody says, why do some wives, that they nag all the time, Ustad?
You must tell, give them, put 5 rand, 20 rand in their mouth, they'll keep quiet. You understand? Tell her, honey, every day you keep quiet, I'll give you 20 rand, 50 rand, 100 rand, and then she will keep quiet, you see? So you must know how to play the tactics.
SubhanAllah. Are Muslims allowed to invest in pyramid schemes, Ustad?
Pyramid schemes are haram, not permissible. Remember that this is all part of gambling system, not permissible. But a Ponzi scheme and pyramid scheme and all this. Say, never invest with the government. The planes will also fall off like SAA. So remember that, just forget it.
Somebody says, Ya Ustad, this is Maliha. I just have to tell you, Mufti Sahab, I took your advices and left school. Now I'm finishing my studies through correspondence. And also, why are boys not allowed to wear red? Ustad, Maliha.
So very good. It seems that you're very happy with the decision you took. I just suggest, we don't know who you are. We don't know you. I'll tell you the meaning of your name. You see, an-nahwu fil kalam kal-milhi fi ta'am. So when you learn proper Arabic grammar, then you speak, you write correctly. Kal-milhi fi ta'am is like the salt in the food. So when the salt is there, then it's tasty, it's nice, it's beautiful. So maliha, maliha will mean beautiful. So now you beautiful sister, your name, we don't know who you are. So anyway, that you remembered, made the right choice. So you're studying via correspondence, everything, mashallah. So now you must settle down also and remember that you make dua. Allah Ta'ala give you one malih person, another handsome guy, inshallah. Zayyan, very handsome. So inshallah, you read Surah 2, verse 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Regarding bright red and red only, if it's red with other colors, red and white, red and blue, red and black and whatever, that is permissible. But only red, the Hanafis say not permissible. Shafis and them say is permissible. The Sahaba say, I saw Nabi alayhi salatu salam wa alayhi hullatun hamra. He had red color kurta and red color clothing. And I looked at the moon and full moon, Laylatul Badr. And I looked at the master alayhi salatu salam. Ma ra'aytu ahsana minhu. I never saw a personality more handsome than the master. Qablahu wa la ba'dahu. Nor before the master alayhi salam, nor after that. Therefore, the Shafi's and him say is permissible. But there is hadith of prohibition also. So the Hanafis looked at that hadith. So everyone got their own evidence and proofs.
Brother from Johannesburg says, Ustad, that he calls his little wife a pet name, and he says the pet name is Little Kitten. And he says whenever he enters the house, he says meow. But my wife feels offended. Is there anything wrong in that, Ustad?
Yes, he said, well, then use a name that your wife will feel offended. You call a little kitten, then maybe she call you big cat. You don't know, you know. So if she tell you big rat, then you also won't like it, you understand? So if you make meow and all these things, it's not good because she don't like it. Then maybe she still like, but she call you big cat, then I don't know. So you must remember, husband, wife must use affectionate names that they like for one another. See names, Mustafa, Habibuna, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha. I give you from hadiths. Ya Humaira, Daraqutni's hadith. Oh, you, Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha, you are the lady with the red, red complexion, where fair, and redness enhances the beauty. Ya Muwaffaqa, open Tirmidhi Sharif. Allah gave you tawfiq. When the ulama spoke of Sheikh Abu al-Hasan Nadwi and Mufti Shafi Sahib rahimahullah and them, they should say, Huwa al-Muwaffaq min Allah. Allah gave him tawfiq, such great ability, capabilities, direct from Allah. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that muwaffaqa for Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Ya Aish. So you must remember that shortcut. So all this, so it shows the love the Master alayhi salam had. Ya bint Siddiq, Siddiqa bint Siddiq. She is Siddiqa. Her father is Siddiq. And we will give our life to protect their honor. Any person curses Siddiqa, any person curses Siddiq, Sayyidina Abu Bakr or his daughter, or Sayyidina Umar, or Sayyidina Usman, or Sayyidina Hafsa, they're out of the fold of Islam and Allah's curse is upon them.
Somebody says, Ustad, my question is that what dua is supposed to be recited when children under the age of 9 are sick? Always fever and restless, Ustad.
All of you who have problems with your children and so forth, Alhamdulillah, make dua. Allah Jalla Wala Payai Takmil Tak Ponchade. We always beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala that make it easy. I must thank my brother, my colleague, Maulana Ahmad Dokrat, Hafidahullah. It was all his initiative. 2015 he started. So this morning, today, first Rajab is tonight. So I said, let me start a new series with the help and mercy of Allah alone, wa alayhi tuklan. So we place our trust solely, only on Almighty Allah. So I already sent to him for tomorrow, that is the second. Tomorrow is first, but I'm one day ahead, so you know what's happening. So tomorrow, meaning the nasiha, people, parents, you have problems with your children, they don't listen, they are sickly, they have this problem, that problem, read Surah 46, verse 15, in the 26th Juz, 26th Subara, وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. So read 26 Juz, 26 Supara, that Surah 46, Surah Ahqaf, verse 15, 1-5. O aslih li fi dhurriyati. Ya Allah, bring about piety, goodness, good health in my children, my progeny. Read Surah Fatiha and blow on them 7 times, you understand? 7 times you read and blow, mention in Bukhari Sharif. So the whole Quran Sharif is shifa. So let them read, you read, Allah give them shifa.
Ustad, just listen to this question, Ustad. It says here that my Muslim neighbors send their children to preschool. So now today I heard how their children playing and saying a Christian prayer for their food. What should be done in such a case? I think the parents don't understand what the children are saying when reciting these prayers because the parents are foreigners from India, Ustad.
Remember that it's haram for a Muslim parent to send their children to such a crash. They will crash there, they lose their iman. They go to Christian school and sometimes they have to go to the chapel or church or biblical studies and then they start singing the rhymes and songs. So you already go out of the fold of Islam. Use this as a case to study. Yeah, they are 4 or 5 year old children. These people came from India. They maybe asked somebody that we are in the shop, in the job and all that. So this is the first problem. Parents shirking their responsibilities, dumping their children, go to the crash. In Islam, all this is not advisable. It's haram in this case here. So now they are teaching them Christian songs. They say, in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, we're going to eat and drink and all that. Your person become kafir straight away. But these are children, they do not know anything. So who's to blame? The parents need to be blamed. So you must remember that you need to tell those parents immediately. They have to take the children out. And the mother must stay at home. And the father must go and work. This is the big crime. You can call it the third revolution, fourth revolution, fifth revolution. You will get nothing right. The day you took the woman out of the home, you have invited trouble. And that is Islam says, man, you go and work, and woman, you stay at home. Whether you like it or not, that is the Islamic law.
29 minutes to 10, we go, inshallah, for an ad break. When we come back, we will continue, inshallah, with the Q&A. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
25 minutes to 10. Somebody says, Ustad, what time can a woman read Dhuhr Salat on the day of Jumu'ah? Ustad.
Remember, once the time enters, you can read. For example, you read 12:30, you read 12:45 and so forth. But if you're in Cape Town, you must read after 1 o'clock. So you must remember, because there, that the sun reaches the zenith and after 1 o'clock and so forth. So it depends where you are. So if you are in the Gauteng region, Natal, Mpumalanga, all that, 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock you read, you're in Cape Town, 12:15, 12:30, it's fine.
Somebody says, Ustad, is there any punishment on parents who don't instruct children to study deen or prevent them from doing so?
They go straight to Jahannam. The Quran Kareem states, Surah 66 verse 6, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. It is compulsory upon the parents to save themselves and the children from the fire. And now they deprive their children from Islamic education, and they will run it down and so forth, because they feel that they will become paupers. And then they will tell their children, you must do this. So ghar ko aag lag gayi, ghar ki chiraag se. So they themselves have become the enemies. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyya. That every one of you is a shepherd, and you will be questioned regarding your flock. So your children are your flock. And if you are the one who gave them the wrong guidance, you will be punished twice. Mm. Once for your crime and once for leading others astray.
Mm. Somebody says, Ustad, it says, I am interested in Islam and I would like to know the following. I read Malala's book in which she mentions Islam wrongfully suppresses women, basically to keep them at home, etc., because it's noble, etc. I'm curious, what does Islam say about women and equality and access to things? Why are most segregated by gender? Are they and why? This is Brother Sean, Ustad.
Brother Sean, thank you very much. Regarding Malala, she's an agent of the West. That's the first thing you must remember. You must remember, when the West praises somebody and with a Muslim name, then 80%, 90% of the time they are sellouts. You must remember that they play to the agenda of the Western media, that Malala is not, you understand, what we will call a good Muslim lady. You must remember that. She sold out Islam so many times, so get her out of the picture. Mm. We don't worry of Malala or Balala or Banana or whoever. Our deen of Islam is Quran, the constitution, the divine guidance, and the direct speech of Almighty Allah, and the Sunnah Mubarakah. And that is, you must remember, the teaching and preaching of the Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. That are our primary sources. So now you ask about prayer. I am asking you, Brother Sean, that when men and women pray together, you take your example, Sean. You are in the church, you are in the synagogue, in the shul, or chapel, or whatever. And you are sitting there, and there's a smart lady comes there with her miniskirt or what have you. Will you be praying P-R-A-Y, or will you be praying P-R-E-Y, Brother Sean? Think about it properly. So Islam says, yes, men and women must be segregated so that you lead a pure and a chaste lifestyle. Today's modern society, the fourth revolution and third revolution and all this nonsense. So you must remember, they say gender equality. The men must do the woman's job, the woman must do men's job, all these things here. So you take them out from the role which Almighty Allah gave them, and then what good you have. So you must remember, it leads to more and more problems in the world. You see the Christian church, what they did, that now the Pope has to go country to country, apologize for the pedophilia. Because they said celibacy, they can't get married. So you get the monk one side and you get the nun the other side, and you find the monkey business going on. So you should remember these type of things there. Second one, you must remember that in Islam is a natural way. So in Islam, we say the woman's place is at home, the man's place is outside. And remember praying time, the woman, why must she come to the mosque, to the prayer place? Then she will have to drag her children, she will have to, so many problems it will cause. For us there also, we can't concentrate, the children are crying and so much noise and so forth. So everything of Islam is a natural system. So therefore, you want books, authentic books, you contact us, brother Sean, A.K. Hussein, A.K.H.O.O.S.E.N. @gmail.com. We will tell you what to read. Forget all those Malala and banana stories.
Brother Sean says, definitely will do. We will keep in touch and contact with you, Ustad. Somebody says here, Mufti Sahab, that our daughter got very sick. She is 2 years old. Blood test and a DNA test was performed on myself and my wife to determine whose organ is to be transplanted to our child. After DNA test came, Ustad, it was found that the daughter is not mine at all. Do I divorce my wife or forgive her? I'm totally lost for words. Anonymous brother, Ustad.
Remember, this type of test and all that are not conclusive. You must remember that, first of all. So my advice to you, remove all these satanic thoughts and so forth. And remember that you just ask your wife, has she been faithful to you and so forth? She said, yes, you take a word because you don't have any evidence to the contrary. And when these type of thoughts come, say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustadi Ahmad, Al-Waladu Lil Firash. The person who can take that lady to bed, meaning the husband, the child is his. So that beloved daughter, that beloved son, whatever you children you have, so they all are now, their lineage will go to you. You the father, your wife is the mother. And leave all these things now and read Rabbana Hablana min Azwajina wa Dhurriyatina Qurrata Ayun. Remember, since when all these tests are 100%. You know, I love reading. When I read this newspaper, I read from cover to cover, like in a plane and all that. I'll take 6-7 newspapers, you know. And when I'm in Dubai, I just pick up all 6-8 newspapers. I read cover to cover. You see, when this lady Diana and Charles got married, right, I give you one. Now, they are not ordinary mortals for the Western people, right? So, they are the royals and us, and you know all the stories. So, for us, the ordinary mortals, we come here even in meet him, you understand? What we got to worry about them? So, anyway, you must remember that when she fell pregnant and conceived, so you go check it up, you'll find. So whether it was the first guy or the second guy, so they said that the baby will be a girl. Now they don't go to, you know, the Lalupanju guys, you know, to small timers. They go to the best of the best, best gynecologists and best nurse and best doctor and best physician. So see, so they make mistake. So they say, no, the son was born both times, not the daughter. Then the second one, they're not sure whether Charles is the father or the Ewart is the father. So all stories, these type of things, in their thing it works. In ours, it don't work in Islam, brother. So take all these waswasa and whisperings out from your mind, and you cement your marriage with your wife. Read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for all of you.
Ustad, brother Abu in Maputo says that, can we use sunblock while wearing ihram?
Remember that before you go into the state of ihram, you're taking a shower, you use shampoo, you use soap, all that is fine. That time when you dry yourself, you apply sunblock and moonblock and starblock and whatever else is all fine. And then you make your salat, it's not compulsory, the two rakat you want to read, you read, you don't read, is fine. And thereafter you make your intention for umrah, for hajj, and you ask Allah to make it easy, accept it, and thereafter labbaik Allah, and thereafter the restrictions are applicable. Now all these things with fragrance, soap and shampoo and all that, all the deodorants, not permissible.
Ustad, we go to Durban. Somebody says from Isipingo that while traveling in a plane, can we make the four farad of wudu with a wet cloth? Ustad,
you must remember that in the toilets there, they have enough water, so what you want to make wet cloth in that is not permissible. That, because you must remember, there is water available, and the water must now you wash there and all these things. I would not advise that at all. So you must remember, we make 100 times now. I left when I left. I landed now on Wednesday. So my flight from Jeddah to Dubai was 4 o'clock. I had to read Fajr Salat there. So I made wuzu in the toilet there. And I got size 12 feet, you know. And brothers, so you don't have all these issues. And mashallah, I stand and we read 2 rakat sunnat. We read 2 rakat farz. Nobody complains. And then when we flew from Dubai to South Africa, I had to read Zohar Salat. So again, I made wuzu. So all this, we must just use our common sense, little bird. And with common sense is no more common. So now we want to look for all these funny. No, you can't do that.
Ustad, somebody in Leicester says that tell Mufti Ege that Modi must be careful. Allah showed China his wrath, so his turn is coming next. Ustad.
Yes, 100%. Not only Modi, there are many, many tin pot dictators. Remember that. You got Trump on one side, you got Modi on the other side, you got Netanyahu on the other side, you got Bashar Assad on the other side. So many, many shayateen we got. We call them the tin pot dictators. So read with me the dua from UK or US or wherever you are. Allahumma alayka bittughati zalimin. Ya Allah, all these people who are the tin pot dictators and the enemies of Muslim and Islam, you decimate them. That Allah accepted our dua for Sharon. We used to cry to Allah, Ya Allah, make him a sample and example. Allah put him straight 8 years sakarat. That is Sharon, the butcher of Baghdad, the butcher of Beirut. So remember, he used to tell the army, you saw what they did last week? They shot the 8-year-old boy, 7-year-old boy. And the Israeli apartheid regime says, kill the children of Palestine. That's their policy now. So you must remember that. And they will get away with impunity because the West are too frightened for our Israel apartheid regime, because America's veto is there. So you must remember, they all are al-kufru millatun wahida. So they all are together in this. Yeah.
Ustad, let's go to Wits here in Johannesburg. A listener says, I love listening to the Q&A every Monday evenings. And I want to know, is it permissible to send our daughters to university? If not, why? Why do we push them to perform academically well, but deny them the opportunity to study? Ustad.
I was in Wits just 3-4 weeks ago, and I told them in my Jummah lecture, Islamically, it's not permissible, remember, for you ladies to be studying here. Why are you asking me? So you will see 90% leave non-Muslim women. Muslim ladies lose their haya, shame and modesty. Whole day they are interacting with the opposite gender. Second one is that so many of them will lose their virginity. I receive all these questions. And third one, so many of them will become murtad, they leave Islam totally. So since when you have to do this, they must perform academically. So why must they perform academically? Because the mother's mind is already corrupted with the Western values. The father's mind is you must be able to make money. We already send our daughters in marriage with a negative mind. What happens if they divorce? If they happen to divorce, so what are you giving your daughter there? So you must remember this. These are the waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. So you must remember, we don't encourage girls to go to high school. What are you talking about university? So there's drugs there, there's alcohol there, there is the zina there, there's gay brigade there. Every haram you can think of, and you're asking me why they can't go? So it's absolutely haram for ladies to go to universities in this day and this age. We're not here to curry favor with any person or any politician or any party.
Ustad, the listener is saying, my husband borrowed his brother. My husband borrowed his brother my money, and my husband passed away. But one of the family persons said, my husband told him to tell me to forgive his brother, and now my brother-in-law does not want to pay me. What should I do, Ustad?
Regarding the previous question, we are not saying they must not study. Yes, study via correspondence. So what? Nobody prohibits you that. So, but this mentality, they must go and study. Never mind, they can lose their haya and shame and modesty. They can lose their virginity, lose their Islam. So what is that? So the parents need a good hiding, first of all. Second one is this, it is your money, you the wife. Your husband took your money, gave it to his brother. So whether it's 100,000, whether it's 50,000, they have to pay you back. All the stories, you must make maaf and all it is all fairy tales. You got all the right to demand it from your brother-in-law, your deceased husband's brother, and you must make a claim. It's your money, and remember, you must claim it and tell him there's no maaf business, that I want my money back, and it's for y'all, it's haram to inherit it and take it and so forth. In Islam, after burial expenses, you have to pay the creditors, and you, even if the whole estate is used up for that. So you want your money and demand your money. That's my advice to you.
Somebody says, Ustad, I want to know from you, Ustad, I don't know how to read Quran. What I did, I download in my phone all the surahs. So when I read, I open my Quran and put my phone on. Can I do that, Ustad?
When you say that you are putting your phone on, it means you're only listening then. You're not reading. Is that what the question is? Because you say you can't read Quran.
Ji.
Yeah, so it means you're only listening to Quran. You're not reading Quran. So that's not sufficient in Islam. Whether you are 50 years old or 60 years old. You know, I landed Wednesday, Thursday, I went to Cape Town. I told you I love reading, you know. So even on the polls, you know, they have all the captions and the headings. So my brother was taking me around, our brother Idris Mayet, Allah reward him, you know. So I read one, the Cape Town paper, the heading there. 67-year-old man starts university. Imagine he's 67 years old and now he's starting his academic career and his tertiary education and so forth. So you are 50 years old, 40 years old. So you go and learn the Quran, my brother. That is what will benefit you in this world, benefit you in the grave, benefit you in the year after. So there's no shame. We learn from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb. So that is what Islam is teaching us. Just listening is not sufficient. You must be able to read the noble Quran as well.
Subhanallah. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, is it permissible for females to ride a horse? In which way did our mothers, radiallahu anhuma, ride the camels, or did they ride the horses as well, Ustad?
No. They never did all these things there. So you must remember that la anallahul furuj ala suruj is not permissible for women to go ride horse. Just now they'll tell you they want to take part in a July handicap and all that, and camel races and all these type of things there. So you must remember Islam teaches us haya, shame and modesty. So the women, remember that your main function is you must learn about Islam. You must learn how to run a house. You must learn to fulfill the conjugal rights and the rights of your husband. You must learn tarbiyah, how to bring up children. Look at our mother. My mother couldn't read one word of English. I used to take her, so I always used to laugh. They say, Mommy, you must sign. So she used to look at me. I say, leave them, man. You just put your thumbprint. I'll tell them. So that you just put the thumbprint there. She knew how to read Quran, but she never knew all this. I will give 100% to that lady who don't know how to read and write English and all, but she knows how to read Quran Sharif, than a lady who got 5 degrees and 10 degrees, but she lost her haya and shame and modesty. She lost her virginity. What good is that? You become shaitan. So you must remember this. This is Islamic values. But the ummah today, day and night, Hollywood, Bollywood, shaitanhood, so now the minds have got corrupted with the Western values.
Somebody says, Ustad, my wife had a dream, Kiamat has come, people running around, waves coming, seeing family running around, all screaming. Kept on saying, Kiamat came, Ustad.
Yes, remember that you must worry about your own Kiamat first. We belong to the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Man mata faqad qamat kiamatuhu. Whosoever dies, the micro, his or her individual Kiamat has started already. So remember, dreams are not dalil and proof. But remember, the dreams can be a reminder. So we all must be concerned of our own lives. Hasibu. Take stock of yourself before the day of reckoning comes, before the death comes, before Qiyamah comes. So that is the message we all must take.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, it says, did our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam not see heaven and hell when he went up to meet Allah, Ustad?
Remember, we belong to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went up physically in the state of awakeness. And Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Jannah and Jahannam. And if you want the details, I just give it to you. Surah 17, chapter 17, verse 1. Surah 53, the first 15, 18 verses. And go open the whole hadith, the long hadith on Mi'raj in Sahih Muslim. And it's authentic hadith. So these are the three references. Chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 53, first 15, 18 verses. And the third one, open Sahih Muslim, and the incident of Isra and Mi'raj. Isra, the journey from Makkah to Masjidul Aqsa, and Mi'raj from there, Masjidul Aqsa, to the seven heavens and beyond.
We go to Springs. A brother says, Mufti Saab, what is the virtues of looking after a divorcee and her children? I am not married. I want a lot of reward. I want sawab, Ustad.
So you get married to a Bakira, you get married to a virgin, that is the reward. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Alaykum bil abkar." In Islam, if you have a choice, you get married to a virgin, so that is the best. But if you want to marry a divorcee, or you want to marry a widow, so Islam says it's permissible as well. But then you must look at your pocket as well. So do you have money? She should come with somebody else's children. Those children, their biological father is not going to pay. Most of the time, you know what's happening. So to look after your wife will cost 10, 15, 20,000. To look after her children, another 10, 20,000. Do you have 50,000? You don't have 50,000. So why you want to complicate your life? So you must remember, use your common sense, brother. La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Say the real question. The real question is that you and that lady, you all may be chatting already. And you are talking to her. And now you want to give it all this, you know, the virtues part. So first of all, for you to be talking to that widow and the divorce is haram. So why come with all these stories now? So remember, you must cut all those things on and tell her she must go to all these ulama organizations, jamiats and what. They got millions and millions of zakat. So you must remember that they must give it to them and finish what you want to get involved. From where you will take out 40, 50,000 a month.
Somebody says, Ustad, I have a very silly question. I live near the border of Botswana. I drive out 10 kilometers, then cross the border. Am I a musafir because I am in another country?
You don't have to be in another country. In the same country, you can be a musafir also. You go from Gaborones to Francistown, you musafir also. So from Gaborones, you come to South Africa, so you cross the border, already you musafir. So it's not necessary you have to cross the border, go into another country. When you made intention from border to border, municipal border in your own country as well, and it is 78 kilometers or more, 48 miles or more, you travel 5, 10, 15 kilometers out of your town, out of your city. So you're already musafir. So remember, it's got nothing to do with countries. In your own country also, I'm in Johannesburg, I go to Durban, so I'm musafir. This weekend we're going to Bergwell and Escort, inshallah, so we musafir. So it's your own country, South Africa.
Ustad, it's 3 minutes to 10 o'clock. A listener wants to say, she says, anonymous sister, Mufti Saab, our daddy is 65 years old and he's very lonely. He keeps on saying that I feel lonely. Should we get him married, Ustad?
100% get him married. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, hypothetically, if Almighty Allah tells me in 10 days' time that I will be dying, I, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, will still get married with the fear of falling into fitna. So in your father's case, it's nothing to do about bedroom and bathroom. Lonely he's feeling, he needs a companion. So you, the children, should not object. 100% daddy, we will get you married. So get him one nice appa, and the appa mustn't have no children and everything, and then you get him married. Otherwise, the appa will come with her children, then papa will be crying.
2 minutes to 10 o'clock. Sister says, Ustad, the age of the upper, 40 years old is fine?
Okay? Yes. 40 years is perfect.
He's 65.
Yeah. 100%. You must remember, you can't bring an upper who's 60, 65. She'll be sick herself. Then your father will have to make khidmat of her. 40 is right, mashallah.
Ustad, what is the difference between Walima Dana and Kira Dana? And what is habu, Ustad?
You must remember, these are all terminologies people made. Walima is today you got married, tomorrow you have the wedding feast, that is walima. This morning you got married, the couple went into privacy to consummate the marriage, is not compulsory. And after half an hour, 1 hour after that, you let the couple meet after, you know, the nikah. And thereafter you have the walima, that's walima, it's fine. Kira is milk. You must remember in our Memon we say kiraj, you understand? So it's all different terms. So you must remember those people give their own names. But walima is part of Islam, but there's dancing and all that and videos, that is not permissible in Islam.
Ustad, a minute left to 10 o'clock. Our round down, Ustad, inshallah?
Inshallah, our round down after 10 o'clock will be, first we go to my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala with his golden voice, and then after that we go to another golden voice, Maulana Abdul Majid Nadeem, Quran Sharif Ki Barkat, the blessings of the noble Quran. And tomorrow morning, 4 o'clock, Maulana Arafat will be here, inshallah, with brother Junaid Khan, brother Riyaz Hussain, and I will arrive here, inshallah. We will start by my program with Maulana Arafat at 5 to 5, 4:55 to 5:25, inshallah. Make dua for us. Let's read the dua before we conclude. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. The new moon, the crescent is sighted. Read, O Ummah, Allahu Akbar, Hilalu Khairin wa Rushdin. O Allah, make this month best for us. The Ummah in all parts of the world, Yemen, Syria, Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, Egypt, Pakistan, all the countries, Ya Allah, our beautiful country, South Africa as well, wa Rushdin, and make it a month of righteousness for all of us. Jazakallah khairan to you, Maulana Arafat, to our brothers. My brother Lukolo will prepare the podcast, half an hour, 45 minutes time. You will get it, insha'Allahul Aziz. Shukran jazilan, and we leave you now, Maulana Arafat.
Ameen, Ustaz, Jazakumullah khairan. We're going to love you and leave you on this beautiful, mashallah, Monday evening. See you guys tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah, with my beloved Fadilatul Ustaz, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah, and our beloved Ustaz, Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim, Damat Barakatuhum. Up next is the golden voice of our beloved Hazrat Allama Hafiz Kala Sahib. Thereafter, inshallah, our Urdu lecture by Hazrat Maulana Abdul Majid Nadim Rahmatullah Ali. The topic is Quran ki barkat, and that is the blessings of the noble Quran. From myself and all of you out there, Jazakumullahu khair for interacting and listening to the Q&A. We see you guys tomorrow morning. Allahumma ahdina wahdibina wahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.